Welcome to the second hour of my conversation with Neil Slade, brain explorer and musician. We're looking at the potential of the human brain. And Neil, we have an email from one of our listeners, Liz Freeman in Berkeley, who writes, great topic. What about the mind-brain interface? What about the idea that the heart leads the brain electrically? And she's referring to the work of the HeartMath Institute and also David Jaffe, inventor of the NeuroMap 2400 real-time EEG, who they're both proponents of the idea that the heart leads the brain. And then she says, and what about those people who have craniums full of fluid, no brain, so to speak, just a brain stem, yet manage to have 120 IQs and work as executives? I hope you've heard of this bunch, she says.
Yes, I know exactly. Well, if anything, this is evidence that we're only using 1% or less of our brain. And this is actually the opinion of Nobel laureate Sir John Eccles, who says we're only using an infinitely small percentage of our brain. They've never figured out how much our brains can do, and it's generally accepted that the human brain has infinite potential. And so no matter how small a percentage we assign to what we're using, it's always just a percentage of infinity. So it's always an infinitely small percentage. The people who have brains filled with fluid, this is a result of a disease known as hydroencephalitis. And the inside the brain, inside the brain are ventricles that fill with cerebral spinal fluid. And this is used to not only cushion the brain, but also cushion the spinal cord. And it's manufactured deep within the brain, and then through passageways it cushions around in between the skull and the brain, and then it also flows down the spinal cord. People who suffer this disease, the ventricles enlarge and the fluid increases until it begins to eat away at the brain from the inside out. And exactly as she stated, there are people who are functioning with very high IQs, yet you could literally shine a flashlight through their heads because most of their brain is missing. However, there is still a very, very small layer of brain around the outside, and this is the primate brain that is left. There is a very small layer of primate brain, and that is enough so that these people can continue to function. It is, however, eventually fatal, and one will succumb to this once that final layer of brain is damaged beyond a certain point. In terms of the heart-brain connection, I don't know about that. I know there are people who have had heart transplants, and yet they pretty much remain the same person. There are people who have survived for a time with artificial hearts or artificial parts of the heart, and they pretty much remain the same person. So I don't think or worry about that too much. I think what is really important for me in any case is to really concentrate on getting the brain tuned up and running smoothly. And once you do that, then you can explore all the connections and all the avenues. But first, you've got to get the basic operating system down, and that's the focus of my work. So lots of people understand the basic system, and from there you can go on to infinity.
I think the idea of the HeartMath people, as I understand it, is that the heart really functions less as a pump and as it does as an oscillator, and that it's the primary electromagnetic oscillator in the body. It sort of serves as like to tune all the other organs.
That could be possible. I don't know that much about that, really enough mm-hmm. to comment on that. I'm open to that connection there.
Now I want to get back to the amygdala click switch.
Yes. Yeah, people are wondering, well, how do you click? How do you click the amygdala? Okay, I know about all this.
You have to wiggle your ears, I bet. That's the trick.
No, you don't have to do anything physical at all. Like I said before, this is an internal process, and I'll explain in just a couple minutes how to get started doing that. There are many ways to click the amygdala forward. You could invent as many different ways to click forward as you want. But essentially, it's as easy as clicking the light switch on your wall. That's the function of it, is just to, it's a gateway within the brain. It's actually more like the thermostat on your wall. Since the amygdala is in the mammal brain, it registers emotions as well as making one able to send activity forward in the brain to the frontal lobes. Now, the frontal lobes, this most advanced part, now you have to see the whole operating system. That's why if I just explain how to click forward, it won't do any good unless you're understanding how it's all connected. So that's why I'm going to the trouble of all these little details here. And even then, I'm just skimming here just to get the basic ideas through. Anyway, the frontal lobes compute CECL, cooperation, imagination, creativity, intuition, logic. These are the purely human attributes that occur within the frontal lobes. If you cut a person's frontal lobes off or give them a frontal lobotomy or injure the frontal lobes, that person will lose those abilities. I'll say them again so you get it. Cooperation, imagination, creativity, intuition, logic. When you click the amygdala forward, you turn on these processes. You amplify these processes. When your amygdala click switch is clicked back into reptile brain, all these things are turned off, or just a trickle of them is turned on. That's why, your amygdala, let me say this. Your amygdala, like I said, the thermostat, will indicate to you via emotions whether you are, in fact, clicked into frontal lobes or clicked into reptile brain. It's very simple. If your amygdala is clicked more back into reptile brain, you experience negative emotions. You experience loneliness, lovelessness, lack of meaning. You can experience depression, anger, fear, rage. These are all indications that your amygdala is clicked backwards. Negative emotions equals clicked backwards. Now, when you click your amygdala forward, you experience positive emotions. When the frontal lobes are on, you have internal amygdala feedback that gives you positive emotions like love, enthusiasm, excitement, anticipation and hope, all these positive emotions, is your brain telling you you are using frontal lobes activities. And if you think about it for a second, it's a very interesting feedback system within the brain because it's nature's way of encouraging you to use more of your potential, more of your brain. If you're using just a little percentage of your brain, if just your reptile brain is clicked on, that's not good for your survival, because as you use more of your capacity for understanding, that increases your ability to survive. And your nature wants you to survive. It wants you to use more of your brain so you can survive better. So when you use more of your brain gives you positive feedback saying, yes, go this way. If you're using less of your brain, you get negative feedback, and your brain is telling you, don't do this, change direction.
That's sort of, I suppose, what Joseph Campbell was referring to when he told people, follow your bliss.
Exactly. Now we know the neuromechanisms why that is correct.
Neil, we'll be taking a break, and when we return, we'll explore more the bliss potential of the brain. Neil, I want to make sure during our second hour that we allow some time to talk about the paranormal capacities of the human brain. We've talked quite a bit about, you know, clicking the amygdala forward, and I guess what you're telling me...
Go ahead.
There isn't any physical process, but maybe there is a simple psychological process for visualization.
Yes, I think we've covered enough about how the parts are there. Now we're going to show you how to click the gear shift forward.
Yeah.
It's just like grabbing the gear shift on your car. It's very simple. You say, okay, first gear is here, click. Now, if your listeners will just hold up their left hand, and wiggle their index finger. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Mm.
Okay, well, making a part of your brain move is simpler than that. It takes, I'd say it takes less energy than a gnat uses to scratch its butt to change a thought process in the brain, to click that amygdala forward. And what we do is we actually use the frontal lobes to click the amygdala. It's a paradox in a way. You use, in order to click the amygdala forward, you use the frontal lobes. And the frontal lobes clicks the amygdala forward, which in turn sends more electrical activity in the frontal lobes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paradox. This is all you have to do to click the amygdala forward and get the energy moving into that vastly infinite potential magical frontal lobes. I'll instruct people right now as they are listening. Just close your eyes. Make sure you're in a comfortable place. Now, I'll tell you how to do this now, but I would suggest when the radio program is over, you get in a nice quiet room, a place where you won't be disturbed, and you do the exercise again. And then you'll be able to really notice any subtle changes that you feel in your body or in your brain. Many people, when they do this for the first time, they get an explosive reaction. People write to me all the time saying, I clicked my amygdala forward after I turned the lights off and was in bed, and my whole body started vibrating. Or I saw colors, or I had waves of pleasure in all these different parts of my body. And it's very conceivable that if you're listening now, you will have these kind of reactions. However, I also get people who say, it was a very subtle sensation. I felt a warmth in my forehead, or a smile just came on my face for no reason. I showed people how to do this at the Global Science Conference in Denver, and some people in the audience spontaneously started laughing, and one guy said, I never laugh at anything, and I just started laughing. So there's no way to predict what any individual response will be. It could be very dramatic the first time you do it, or it could be very subtle. However, one thing will happen. As you do this over and over again throughout the day, over a period of days and weeks and months and even years, the effects of clicking is accumulative. You're actually physically creating more and more physical neural connections to the frontal lobes. Every time you do this, you're internally stimulating the brain to grow branches, to grow connections. And it gets more intense as you go along, and eventually you get to that point that you're talking about with brain orgasm, where just through your daily activities, your day is filled with wonder. It's like being able to have the best day of your life happen every month, every week, every day, or from minute to minute. So it's an accumulative process. So be open and aware of where you, whatever reaction you have, just keep doing it and learn more about it, okay? Anyway, so here's how you do it. Get comfortable. Close your eyes. Visualize the energy of the universe coming into your body. Perhaps it's entering through your feet, and it moves up your legs, up your spinal cord, into your reptile brain. The energy is computed by your reptile brain as consciousness, and you are aware that you exist, that you are here. The energy, you can feel the energy flowing up and out towards the mammal brain into the amygdala click switches, like the electricity flowing in the wires into your house, into your light switch. And what you're going to do is click the switches forward, and we can do that with a visualization. Imagine, just using the imaging ability of your frontal lobes, you're going to imagine you have a feather in your hand, and you don't even have to move your hand, but in your mind, hold the feather. You have a feather in your hand, and you're going to tickle the front part of your left amygdala, and as you tickle, the switch will click forward and send the energy forward into the left half of your frontal lobes. Tickle, tickle, click. It automatically clicks. And then you're going to take the feather, and you're going to tickle the front part of your right amygdala. And as you tickle it, it automatically clicks forward and sends the energy further forward, and it fills your frontal lobes, and you can feel the energy going into your frontal lobes.
Hey, that's great.
And that's it. That's as simple as it. Just imagine a feather and tickle the front part of each amygdala, and that will send the energy to the frontal lobes. Now, the one thing you have to want to be careful and is not to tickle the back part of the amygdala. And scientists know from actually using chemicals and using electric probes that if they stimulate the back part of the amygdala, it causes a person to go into rage and to feel as though they've just missed getting hit by a car. They notice from actually physically stimulating the back part of the amygdala. However, when they stimulate the front part of the amygdala, the person feels euphoria. They feel like they are looking at God face to face. They're filled with pleasure and contentment. So that's why we tickle the front part of the amygdala and not the back part. And we're doing it with thought processes. So you don't have to get in there with wires or with application of chemicals. You can do it with a thought process. And as you do this, every day you begin to transform your daily negative experiences just through a simple click into positive experiences, because you're now using creative, imaginative, cooperative, intuitive, logical processes of the frontal lobes.
And this then leads to the next level, which has been called variously the gifts of the spirit or siddhis or psychic capacities or paranormal abilities.
Yes.
Or mystical powers.
Absolutely. It's spontaneous. At the Brain Lab, they discovered this 25 years ago. When people learned how their brain was operating and they consciously moved the energy forward specifically into the frontal lobes, all of these paranormal abilities spontaneously began to occur. And I can tell you some really wild stories. People, again, write to me, and they, after the first day of learning how to click forward, they begin to experience telepathy with members of their family. Of course, one thing we did, on Arc Bell last year is we had, 10 or 15 million people listening that one night, and they were experiencing terrible droughts in Florida. And I taught people, exactly as we did this evening, how to click the amygdala forward and then send that brain energy to this drought parched part of northeastern Florida, and we focused the brain energy into the formation of clouds and rains. And within a few days, with absolutely no rain predicted, it began raining in Florida, and it didn't stop until they had 3 inches of rain. People, once they learn how to click this amygdala forward, you can focus. The brain energy is palatable. If you go to my website, you can see what we believe is an actual picture of the flow of this energy flowing through the brain. And you can focus it like a laser beam and direct it and do things with it. One very popular and very easy thing to do with this frontal lobes energy is to dissolve clouds in the sky. And people are amazed when they find that they can focus on a cloud and at will make it vaporize once they've focused this brain energy in a certain direction.
Well, we're talking about the higher potentials of the human body-mind-spirit system with Neil Slade, and we'll return after these messages. Welcome back once again to Virtual You. I'm your host, Jeffrey Mishlove, and my guest, Neil Slade, musician and brain explorer, has been explaining to us how by activating the brain's potential for experiencing bliss and pleasure, we open ourselves up to the higher powers of the mind, to psychic and spiritual functioning.
How nicely put. You certainly have a way with words I admire.
Well, and you have a way with not only words, but with practice here, getting millions of people on the Art Bell radio program to focus their mental energies together to end a drought in Florida suggests that, there are higher potentials. Parapsychologists refer to as psychokinesis that all of us may have, but most of us never think about activating.
Yes. For me, however, it is a double-edged sword. And, there is a saying that once you get the city powers, don't use them. And I'm a pretty firm believer in that.